Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast. This is the Point series by China Forum. In this series, we will have one-on-one discussions with top-level officials, diplomats, well-known entrepreneurs, academics, and media experts from both China and abroad to hear their fresh insights on important global issues.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Point series. This is Bebe with China Forum. As the dust settled regarding the US presidential election result, the world now faces a whole new round of questions and uncertainties regarding the impact of Trump's second term. Today, our focus is on the impact of Trump 2.0 on China-EU relations. And we have with us Dr. Shi Yan, a fellow at CISS, Tsinghua University, with her research focused on EU trade and economic policy, industrial strategy, and China-EU relations. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shi Yan. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ms. Bebe. I'm very happy and honored to join the discussion with you on this topic.
Thank you. So, Dr. Shi Yan, you attended with former Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Fu Ying the 7th Paris Peace Forum, which took place just 4 days after the U.S. presidential election. And your main focus at the forum was the panel on the global implications of the U.S. presidential election. What was the feel at the event, you know, when people were still digesting the election result? Can you share with us your main impression of that panel discussion at the forum?
Yes, the Paris Peace Forum was opened on September 10th, so the result of the U.S. presidential elections was still fresh for Europe and for all over the world. There was a little bit of surprise for Europeans and for all the world of the result. But anyway, the Europeans are not so panic or nervous about the back of Trump because they already have the mental preparation for this for a long time. So we didn't feel so much panic in France. But when we see the opinions of the guest speakers and the scholars, experts invited to the Paris Peace Forum, I can feel they still have a lot of concerns about Trump's policies in his second term, like how to deal with the regional peace and stability issue. And now we see what happened in Middle East and also the European security. And also the future of the global order. Of course, the one important issue for Europe is the trade and the tariffs. And I also heard some worries in France about NATO's strategic shift to Asia Pacific. So in one world, we can feel that French and Europeans still have a lot of uncertainty about those policies of Trump's second term.
So in summary, you feel like Europe was mentally prepared, but still concerned. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, before we get to Trump's second term, let's take a look back at the first term of Trump's administration. What were the shocks for Europe back then?
Yes, it was truly a big shock to the transatlantic relations in past decades of the first term of Trump administration. Because Trump argued for reducing the support for the military protection, Europe needs to raise the defense budget to defend themselves. We know that the guarantee of the European security is a critical pillar of the transatlantic relations for the alliance. The second is additional tariffs to Europe, which makes the transatlantic trade relations into the unprecedented tension since 1930s. The third is values. We know that Trump is a conservative, but Europe may be more liberal. So there are a lot of conflicts of their values. The fourth is the Trump argued for separating the Europe into old Europe and the new Europe. And also he had a kind of anti-Europe opinion and also supported the Brexit. This also makes most Europeans very unhappy. And another thing is about Trump's opinion on the multilateral system, especially the WTO. We know that the EU trade depends a lot on the WTO system. So Trump not support and even threatened to withdraw from the WTO, which makes the Europe very worried about their future trade relations with the world and also with the United States. So for all of those things, it was not one shock, but many shocks to Europe and to the transatlantic relations.
That sounds like a lot of challenges to get used to. So do you think, like, what kind of changes took place then? And what were the challenges for transatlantic relations?
Europe, of course, made a response to Trump's policies. So Europe, under the leadership of France, argued for the strategic autonomy to improve the European self-capacity, to improve their resilience, to better defend the European interests in the new kind of power politics. And those challenges not only for transatlantic relations, but also impact the Europeans' worldview, the European perception of power politics, of their relationship with big powers. Not only less trust in America, but also they reduced their trust with other big powers like China, like Russia. They argued for reduced dependence of American militarily and also reduced the dependence on Russian energy and China's market and economy. So for that period, the Europeans, their trust in big powers totally declined a lot. That is the challenges not only for transatlantic relations, but also for a big change of the European view of the world of the big powers.
Now, with all these changes having taken place, do you think Europe is shocked again by the US election result this time? Do you think Europe have any expectations for Trump 2.0?
I don't think the Europe is still shocked this time. They are not shocked. They already prepared for the back of Trump, because since Trump declared to take part in the presidential campaign again, Europe already has a kind of a mental preparation for this. But I don't think Europe has enough preparation strategically or in policies. Europeans still have a lot of uncertainties and concerns about those issues. The first is, will the U.S. to continue support Ukraine and how to manage the peace negotiation between Russia and Ukraine? Will Trump administration make the Ukraine to compromise a lot to Russia? And how to deal with the future European sustainable security? It is a big issue, the first problem for Europe. The second is still the trade policy, the tariff. There is a very high possibility that Trump will take the tariff again to its trade partners, not only to China, but also to all its trade partners. Because we know that Trump has had the commitment of the tax cut domestically. That means there is supposed to be other inflow of money to fill this hole of the income. So tariff is important revenues for Trump administration. The third is the China-US relations. We know that during the Biden administration, China-US, although experienced a lot of challenges, but finally stabilized. But in the second term of Trump, we are not sure that China-US relations can be stabilized again. And this is also uncertainty for Europe. And how should the Europe choose their position between the two big powers? The fourth is still the multilateral system. I think the Europeans have not so much confidence in Trump can contribute or still support the multilateral system.
So what do you think would be different this time compared to Trump's first term? What changes took place for both the U.S. and Europe?
Yes, as I mentioned that the European concerns, a lot of concerns are still the same concerns during Trump's first term. But this time, during Trump's second term, there are a lot of things changed internally and geopolitically, actually. Like for Europe, during Trump's first term, there is no Ukraine crisis. Now the Ukraine crisis make the Europeans feel unprecedented threat for their security after the Cold War. So this is the first issue for Europe. And the Europe now is weaker comparing with the Trump first term and will be more dependent on US. So now Europe has no choice. No matter who takes the office of the White House, the Europe will depend more on the United States, especially militarily. And in the past years, during the Biden administration, although the transatlantic relations became stabilized, a lot of crises hit Europe one by one, like the COVID-19, the slow economic revival, and then the Ukraine crisis and the refugees and immigration crisis, and also the rising of the far right. So the Europe has faced more troubles than the first term of Trump. So internally and outside threat makes the Europe depend more on the United States. The transatlantic relations will be more unbalanced rather than more balanced. The second is that, like in the Trump first term, the defense budget issue is conflict between them. But after Ukraine crisis, now a lot of the member states of the European Union already raised their defense budget issue. So defense budget issue is not so much more a problem like in the Trump's first term between US and the Europe. And at the end of the Trump first term, the Europe initiated the TTC with the United States. So the TTC is a kind of coordination approach between US and Europe. And we can see that Europe now may be more experienced to promote the coordination with the United States rather than very negatively to respond to Trump's policies toward Europe. And another different thing is that now the Europe is a more conservative Europe than during Trump's first term. We see the rising of the far right. So the value conflict between Trump and Europe maybe will be less. And another thing, maybe more tensions, because this is a tension internally in the Europe now. Now we can see Musk, one of the important person in the Trump's team, has a kind of a supportive words on the AfD of Germany. And also the Italian Prime Minister Meloni have a very good relationship with Trump and Musk. We can see a more conservative relations, connections between Trump administration and the Europe. And for Trump, that he has the commitment of resolve the Ukraine crisis soon. And the Ukraine crisis actually is a kind of a European security issue. So for this, Europe is a very important party to help Trump to resolve this. And Trump can't neglect Europe to resolve the Ukraine crisis by himself. So maybe we can see more coordination between Trump and Europe on fixing the Ukraine crisis. So in Trump's second term, United States, Europe, they had a lot of difference than before. And also they are facing different outside challenges than in the past years. So there will be different interactions between them.
Thank you for your very informative answer. So it sounds like it wasn't just a different time for Europe, but also a very difficult time for Europe. Can you tell us more about U.S. policy toward Europe during Trump's second term?
Trump is just building its administration, its governments now. We can see a lot of positions has been decided now. But we are still unclear about Trump's policies toward Europe or toward China. His policies are not so clear now, but we can guess that for Trump's second term, for its foreign policy to deal with the Ukraine crisis, it's the number one in his foreign policy agenda. So on the Ukraine crisis issue, before Trump will have more cooperation with Europe. The second is the tariff issue. The Trump administration will do it again, very possibly. And it will be easier for Trump administration to do this than his first term. Because we know before that the EU is a very tough trade negotiator, even with the United States. But now the Europe is weaker and the security is a bigger issue than the trade issue for Europe. and it has more dependence on your United States now. So for this time, that maybe it is easier for Trump administration to make the trade negotiation with the EU. EU may make more compromise on the trade and the tariff issue to the United States. And the third is that the U.S. policies toward Europe, we know that for the United States, no matter who is the president, the strategic competition with China is still the main framework of foreign policy. So the U.S. policies toward Europe will also be in the framework of the U.S. policy toward China. So this is something that we can see certain. Yeah.
And now speaking of China, what does this all mean for China? How shall we see the U.S. factor in China-EU relations?
Yeah, we can also record Trump's first term, that the China-U.S.-Europe relations. On China, on the policies toward China and the U.S.-Europe coordination, this, that we can see there are a couple of behavior models of the Europe. The first is agree and follow the United States policy toward China, especially like on the ideology issue, human rights values issue. They have the same identity and agreement, so the Europe will follow this with the United States. The second behavior model is the Europe was forced to follow the U.S. policy on China. One important example is on the 5G issue. The U.S. made the Europe to give up the Chinese Huawei's 5G technology. The third model is the coordination model, the TTC. Europe can initiate actively to have a better coordination with the United States to manage the transatlantic relations and try to shape the U.S. policies toward Europe. So we are not sure that Europe can still do this during Trump's second term, but anyway, the Europe already has this kind of experiences. The fourth is that Europe also sometimes will leverage its alliance with the United States. I mean, the Europe can borrow the power of the U.S. to press China on some policies then to achieve the European policy goals. So on different issues, the U.S.-Europe coordination will have different models on China. But no matter what, China, we still want the Europe can have independent policy toward China to defend the European interests independently rather than to suffer the impact of the United States. And for China-Europe bilaterally, I think both sides should focus more on China-Europe the bilateral relations by themselves to have solutions on those challenges for the bilateral relationship. The first now, two biggest challenges. The first is how to deal with the Ukraine crisis and how the Europe to view about the China-Russia relationship. The second is the China-Europe investment agreement. The CAI is still in the deadlock in the European Parliament. This is a big loss for China-Europe. This is also very interesting that because before the China-Europe bilateral investment agreement negotiation moved very slowly, but under the pressures of the China-US trade war and also then the China-US very closely make the first phase agreement, then China-Europe feel a kind of a dynamics to speed up their negotiations on the comprehensive agreement of investment. This is a kind of objectively positive impact of Trump's first administration because it's trade wars with those trade partners. But anyway, I think China-Europe should focus more on bilateral relationship by themselves, focusing more on cooperation rather than competition or the differences ideologically. Mm-hmm. And now the most important thing is to rebuild the political trust between China and Europe. And both sides should against the over-securitization and ideology, those kind of issues, factors to have the negative influence on the bilateral relationship.
I see. Thank you. And our last question is, internationally, we see arguments for multilateralism in a multipolar world, while they're also concerned of a new Cold War. How shall we look at the future US-Europe-China interactions during Trump 2.0?
The Cold War means different blocks. It means decouplings. And also, it means absolute loss for each party, not only economically, but also on security. Because once there are two blocs that confront with each other, of course, there will be kind of military competition, and there is no trust between the two sides anymore. Of course, it means more insecure for each one, not more secure. So the narrative of the new Cold War is very dangerous for each country, especially for the middle and the small countries, that it's very difficult for them to choose sides. The second I want to say is that the history never repeats. So during the Cold War between US and the Soviet Union, there was no globalization. There's no so broad and deep economic and other kind of connections between the two blocks. But now, after decades of globalization, we can still benefit from the legacy of the globalization. It's not so easy to make the policy of decoupling, to cut the connections with other countries. So I think that for each country, that we should not make the narrative of the new Cold War to a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. And the third, that for the big powers, that big powers have the responsibility to the world, to lead the world, to confront with the global challenges. Now we are facing the global challenges, not only climate change, but also other kind of new emerging challenges like the new technology, the artificial intelligence, how to deal with its potential threat to the extreme security scenario, and also how to deal with its social ethics. And another important thing is that now there is a larger and larger gap between the leading countries who dominate the AI technology and the rest of the world, that especially the developing countries, they have no leverage in AI technology at all. So those kind of technology gap will finally become a kind of a new gap between the rich and the poor, the gap between the different development, and also maybe the gap of security. So this is a new challenge for the whole world. For China, Europe, and the US, all these three parts have the responsibility and also have the capacity to lead the world to confront with those global challenges. So it is very irresponsible to involve in the power competition or the so-called new Cold War. Those big economies, the big powers, should focus more on the cooperation and on leading the world to dealing with global challenges.
I see. So the world faces new global challenges, and it's in a new historical times. And thank you for reminding us of the responsibilities of the big countries. And thank you so much, Dr. Sheehan. I find your answers to be very informative and concise. It really helped me to understand all these issues. So thank you so much for taking your time, and hope to talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.